Well, good morning. So, God has a sense of humor. Maybe it's just my pastor has a good sense of humor. So I get to talk about anxiety. And so I'm well versed in the topic, actually. So I had lots of time to think about it over the last few weeks, and so here we are. Let me start by asking a question. Have you ever worried about something? You don't have to show of hands. That's okay. I think I can answer that, right? I think we all can answer that as I hear the chuckles go around the room. Whether it's finances, health, relationships, employment, politics, religion, school, assignments, the list could go on and on, actually. We have all at one time or another worried about something. Well, Beth wondered what she would do with her husband's desire to have an open door policy with their new home that they had just purchased and moved into. See, Carl and Beth, who were recently married after more than a year of engagement, hadn't really talked about this open door policy that Carl seemed so determined about. "It'll be fine, honey. Beth, it'll be fine. You worry too much." This was always his reply, followed by a smile and usually at least an attempt at a kiss. "God has blessed us with this beautiful new home, so I want to bless others in return." And they did. Students from the local university nearby frequented their kitchen table. Neighbors knew that they were always welcome. And of course, family. Well, this quickly became a mainstay around their kitchen table. And the fridge was never burdened with a large overstock of leftovers, as the countless sojourners would always make sure that they would be able to have a morsel of a drumstick or some type of snack. They provided the finishing touches on whatever might be lingering in the fridge. And you know, believe it or not, Beth really didn't mind. She actually enjoyed the diverse conversations, learning and listening about other traditions and other places of origin. She had stopped trying to guess who or how many would be coming on any given day, as this became a futile exercise. Suffice it to say that she always knew someone extra would be there. The thing that really concerned her, however, was Carl's refusal to lock the doors even at night when they slept. You see, coming from a big city like Chicago, she knew all too well what happens to folks who don't lock their doors, especially at night. Well, we would be risking all kinds of terrible things. Murder, robbery, were always at the top of her ever-growing list of possibilities when she talked to Carl about this. Beth's mind would travel through the different scenarios each night as she would try to fall asleep. She would try to reassure herself that the little town that they now resided in was nothing like the dangerous metropolis of the Windy City in which she had grown up. That is until she heard the door creak open and footsteps enter into their home at 1:30 in the morning one night. Her heart raced, She could barely breathe. And, well, Carl was sawing some wood, and he was sound asleep in the bed next to her. He didn't have a care in the world. What do you do when you worry? Well, the Greek word here that Jesus uses for worry is a word where we actually get the English equivalent of to choke or to strangle, to wring. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel trapped? Do you ever feel like you can hardly breathe? We live in a world where anxiety seems to be one of the most common and abundant parts of our lives. Yet Jesus here very clearly says, so don't worry. Don't be anxious. Oh, okay. Okay, Lord, thanks for clearing that up for me. Don't worry, be happy, right? Someone should almost write a song about that. Consider it done, Lord. How many of us would walk away from that little dialogue worrying about whether or not we would be able to do just what Jesus has asked of us? Right? We live in a world that is actually seeing an epidemic of anxiety and worry. Not just with adults either. The instances of child and youth anxiety are at all-time highs currently in our society. Now, according to current stats, anxiety disorders are currently the most common disorder in the world, affecting some 300 million individuals. And this is a rough estimate given yearly. Stats Canada estimates that anxiety among our youth in Canada has doubled in a span of 10 years from 2012 until current surveys in 2022, up from 2.6%, topping out at 5.2%. in 2022. Now, I find it fascinating that the more affluent and the more decadent our world and society becomes, the more anxiety has become an issue. It's almost like Jesus knew something about this subject. Well, shouldn't it be the other way around? You know, perhaps the world has it all wrong. Perhaps there's a better way. Maybe we can be free from anxiety and worry in a way that's much more in tune with our mind, our body, and our spirit. Because what we're doing in society doesn't seem to be working. And the more safety and security, the more affluent, the more we accumulate, doesn't seem to do much to ease, to curb, and to satiate this problem of anxiety. Well, once again, in order to do this, in order to understand what Jesus is talking about, we need to understand what Jesus has been teaching up to this point, right? Well, 3 points, actually. I think we see in this passage that Jesus teaches that when we have the right purpose, when we have the right perspective, And when we have the right priorities, we will and have what we need to live in his kingdom, right? The rule and authority of Jesus on our heart and our lives. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about what it means to live under the rule and authority of God. So what does God want for me? That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to be. That's who I am going to be in Christ. I'm going to be living under the rule and authority of God. So we need to understand, well, firstly, the right purpose. I'm struck by Jesus' words here. He says, "So I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." Then he says these words, almost throwaway words, right? Is life not more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Well, I kind of need those things, right? You need me to need those things. But there is something more important than these external things. Jesus is talking about your soul. Your soul is more important. Your inner being is more important. Who you are is more important than what you eat and what you wear. Your relationship with the Heavenly Father is more important than any of those things. The purpose of life is not about your external outcomes. You know, whether you have a home at the lake, as well as a timeshare on the coast, doesn't matter even an iota when it comes to the real purpose of life. Jesus is pointing to the crowd, and he's pointing them back to his earlier teaching on the Beatitudes. When we understand what life is really about, we will begin to understand how to live in a world that is hostile and at odds with the things of God. Right? The blessings of God overflow from the life and heart of an individual who truly understands this. Well, not to belabor it and not to get into talking about everything that we've talked about for weeks and weeks and weeks, but let me very briefly say a couple of things. The Beatitudes. When we are poor in spirit, that is, when I have cried out to God because I realize how much I need him, Jesus says, I will be blessed. Not because I've been super anxious, because I've been wondering if I'm going to be able to keep up with my neighbor next door, and that's totally consumed my life, and I'm in a poor attitude, or I'm feeling poor emotionally, I'll be blessed. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not talking about external outcomes. He's talking about internal realities. And when I am in a place where I realize how much I desperately need God, Jesus says, I will be blessed. When I mourn, Jesus is not talking about you had something bad happen to you in your life and you feel really upset about that. I'll comfort you and I will be blessed. Well, sure, that's true. If we go to God and we talk to him about some adversity or challenge or thorn we have in our life, well, absolutely, God cares for you and he loves you and he will be there in that moment, in that time. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. When I truly mourn for the disastrous mess I've made in my life because I'm sinful, when I can do that and I can truly say, like the publican who refused to even lift his face to the sky, and he beat his chest and he said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus says that man got up and he walked away justified. Why? Because he mourned his spiritual plight. And he understood how desperately he needed God. And when we mourn, we will be blessed. We will be comforted. Now, on the other hand, if I believe that the purpose of life is the accumulation of things for my safety, for my security, for my satisfaction, I will instead give the evil one a wide open door to my heart to plant seeds of anxiety and worry in my heart and my mind. Jesus is simply saying here that if we seek external things, thinking that they are the most important and most valuable things for my life, I will literally miss the whole point of life. What does Matthew 16:26 state? Jesus says these words. He says, "For what profit is it to someone if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul?" So we need to understand what the right purpose is, the purpose of life. It's to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. It's to live under the rule and authority of the kingdom of God. And it's to understand that external things are just that, external things. They will come and they will go. And God knows how much you need each and every thing. So trust Him. Come to Him. Don't worry about those things. He will take care of you. So we need to have the right understanding of purpose, the right purpose. We also need to have the right perspective. You know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can have the right perspective. Worry is literally an illogical thought process and illogical perspective. Now, I want to stop here just for a moment and say something right up front. I probably should have led with this, but I'll say it now. If you deal with anxiety and it goes way beyond an emotional thought process, I am not here today to say, "Oh, well, you just need to trust Jesus and everything will be okay." That's not what I'm saying today. You may very well need to talk to somebody. You may very well need to talk to somebody who has training to be able to help you navigate whether or not you are dealing with some biological issue that challenges you in the way in which you perceive and have perspectives in life. So don't get me wrong. I'm not here today to say that here are three easy steps to be freed from anxiety. You may very well have a disposition toward that. There very well may be help with medication that can help you be able to see more clearly. And I would certainly encourage you to pray about that and to talk to others about that, if that happens to be your case. But worry is an illogical thought process and perspective. So there's a couple of things here. Notice again the words of Jesus. He says, "Notice the birds of the air. Notice the flowers in the fields." So first, I want to say, God wants you to look around, right? We can become so myopically focused on that one issue or that one thing or that thing that is not going to do anything but draw you further away in your relationship with the Lord. God wants you to look around. God wants you to take your eyes off of yourself to see exactly what He is doing. God wants us to look at the big picture as opposed to dwelling on the single thing that may be consuming us. He wants you to talk to Him, right? So I have this tendency. I'm going to pick on you just for a second, Pastor Bob. So I have a tendency to do this sometimes. I want to talk to Bob about something. And instead of just talking to the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, here's this thing that Bob and I need to talk about. Be with our conversation. You know, fill my heart and my mind with the things that you want me to relay to Pastor Bob and help us to have a great channel of communication. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? And then go to bed, have a good night's sleep, and then talk to him. You know, buy me lunch, whatever. That'd be great. Well, the truth is I'll have something that I want to talk to Pastor Bob about. Actually, I'll have something that I want to talk to about just about anybody that I want to talk to. And then I'll spend hours and hours and hours having these fake conversations with them. Have you ever done that? Right? And then I would say this, and then they would probably say this, and oh my heavens, right? I'm talking about anxiety and worry right now, if you haven't discovered. Worry is like being in a rocking chair, right? You can be really busy in a rocking chair, back and forth and back and forth, and I said this and they said that, and I said this and they said that. But truth is you're going to work really hard on that rocking chair and it's not going to get you anywhere. You're going to stay right where you were. The point of these examples that Jesus gives, it's not to say that Jesus doesn't want you to do your part. Birds work hard. They have food to find. They have nests to build. They have cars that they need to decorate. They have chicks to raise. They also have predators that they need to watch out for. But they do not become captive to worry or anxiety. The point of Jesus' example is to emphasize how much God knows and cares about what you need. Continuing with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, a few weeks ago, I talked about fasting. And to be able to talk about fasting, I really needed to talk about giving and praying with the fasting. What Jesus is getting at here in this passage is truly when we are living out the Beatitudes in our lives and when we are giving, praying, and fasting, when we are on mission, living out God's purpose for us in the world, when we are actively in His Word, talking to Him and hearing His voice, and when we are creating space and room for the Holy Spirit to flourish in our hearts, we are able to see the way God sees. That is the right perspective. Mark Twain once said that many of his disasters never actually happened. When our perspective is not God's, we will lose sight of what matters most. So we not only need the right purpose, we need the right perspective. That deals into having right priorities. Priorities. Sometimes we just need to change our priorities and our ambitions. Marianne, this is my favorite verse in the Bible. It happens to be in this passage. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. God provides. He always provides. But notice what has to come first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Obeying God and doing what he says. That's kingdom and righteousness. So God wants me to treat my neighbors this way, then I will treat my neighbors this way. God wants me to talk to him this way, then I will talk to him this way. God says for me to be generous and to be giving with the things he blesses me with, so I will be generous and I will give. That's seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And when we are giving, praying, and fasting, we will have the right perspective to put the right priorities into practice so that we will have the right purpose for our lives. And sometimes we just need to change our priorities and our ambitions. God will provide what you need. So here's the question. Is that enough? Is it enough? Well, it will always be enough. However, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. It might be a little easier said than done. We want what we want, don't we? I know I want what I want. My poor family sometimes. I can be such a child. What does Jesus say about us? He says, the heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think one of the key issues with the epidemic of anxiety in our world today is something called parenting. Let me explain that a little bit. It's a podcast that Meredith shared with me. I'm so appreciative of Meredith sharing that with me. It was very insightful. One of the keys to the epidemic of anxiety in our world today is this trend toward parenting and not parenting. Parents in our society are susceptible to being conditioned to believe that there is value and benefit to being their children's peer instead of being their parent. And sometimes we'll even abdicate our place as a parent. We end up giving our children everything they ask for. Why? Because we want them to have safety and security. We want to demonstrate love to them. And we want them to have the best of everything. I know that's what I want for my children. And we end up giving our children everything they ask for, which I believe is a terribly destructive and deceptive ploy of the evil one. I am so thankful, I am so grateful that God doesn't give me everything I want. but God always gives me everything I need. Imagine a world where people get everything they want. Again, as Pastor Bob has very aptly said numerous times in many sermons over the 8 years that I've been here. You can find this in pop culture in a movie. I am not endorsing or recommending this movie. But Jim Carrey, who has had some type of a faith experience himself recently, did a movie about getting to be God for 24 hours. And what happens when God just says yes, 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 yes to every single prayer that people ask? It's a destructive and deceptive ploy of the evil one. Even trouble can be used as a gift from God when we understand his purpose, when we gain his perspective, and when our priority is to live under the rule and authority of Jesus in our heart and in our lives. And when we do that, even something that might be a challenge or trouble or something that could have the potential of leaving us in a position of dwelling in anxiety, when we seek God's kingdom, all of those things that Jesus talks about will actually be added to us as well. We can discover that this path of purpose, perspective, and priority will lead to joy. It will lead to peace, and it will lead to the presence of Jesus actively and vibrantly at work in and through us. That kind of presence towers over any worry or concern we may have. So I would suggest you run to him. I would suggest you run to that tower and you find freedom. Freedom from anxiety. Beth elbowed Carl. It was 1:30 in the morning, and she could hear everything happening in the kitchen. Carl, someone is downstairs, and I'm sure they are robbing us. Beth, you worry too much. You need to go downstairs and you need to check right now. Beth, we will assess the situation in the morning. Now let's get some sleep. It's Husband of the Year award. The next morning, Beth crept down the stairs, certain everything of value would be gone. To her amazement, the only thing out of place was a homemade loaf of bread sitting on the table. As Carl cut into the loaf, Beth said, "Carl, we have to start locking the doors. If we don't start locking the doors, something bad is going to happen." Or something good, was his reply as he bit into a piece of freshly buttered bread. "Cast all your cares and anxieties on him, for he cares for you. He is good. He's better than buttered bread. He is a tower of refuge and strength. Come to him, run to him, and find freedom from anxiety." Heavenly Father, watch over us now, we pray. Lord, may the shield of faith be at our ready as we trust your words. and the truth of who you are. You are our refuge and strength, a tower of defense. Lord, may the lies of the evil one, may they be quenched. Lord, we don't want to rock back and forth, tossed to and fro. We want to find safety and security in the presence of the Almighty. Lord, whatever it is that we are currently dealing with, whatever anxieties might be at play, Lord, may they pale in comparison. May you tower over them. Lord, show us your purpose, your way for our heart. Give us, Lord, your perspective. Help us to see how truly illogical it is to allow anxiety to control us. And Lord, help us through your Spirit to make your presence, to make your way, to make your Spirit a priority for our lives. Free us, Lord. Free us in the name of Christ. We pray. Amen.